stuff that I did this past week, but it's some pretty good stuff. It also has to do with Sheva Brachos Torah because brother got married on Monday, so I had a lot of time to be able to make these Sheva Brachos Torah things. Here we go. Parshas Vayakol Pekudei starts the following. The question is asked by everyone. Everyone asks the following question. It's a good question. It says Vayakol Moshe es kol hadas bnei Yisrael v'yomer aleihem ilu hadvarim asher tziva Hashem la'asot osam. These are the things that God commanded them to do. Sheshes yamim teyasem malacha. 6 days you will do work. Vayomer shvi yelakam kodesh shabbos yavasom la'Hashem kol hazivo malacha you must. The 7 day rest, 7 days holy for you, it's got to be a Shabbos. Anybody who does malacha on that day will be killed. Sheshet yamim teyaseh malacha is a very strange way of putting it. For 6 days you will do work. So it shouldn't have to read it that way. It should be taseh. That's number one. The fact that it says teyaseh is another strange thing. The fact that it says it as you will have done or there will be work to have been done, but it seems to be a tzivur. How can God command us to do work 6 days a week? That's number one. Number two, you don't find that within any of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Meaning we have 613 mitzvahs. Obviously we keep Shabbos by not doing any work, but it doesn't say anywhere that we have to go ahead and do work during those 6 days. I would think that that would be a suggestion more than anything else. So clearly it's coming within the times of the Mishkan, but there's got to be something else going on here, so what's the reason for it? So the Maral Diskin is a crazy answer, and I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit more than anything else. The Malachas of Mishkan, although people think that this is just a regular Malacha that was done by anybody, you know, that they made their own stuff and they put everything together, was all miraculous. There was nothing to the Malachas of Mishkan that was normal. Everything was done in a miraculous way. And there were crazy things that happened. Whenever they started working, there was a malach that came by and helped them with their work. They started to put something together, and they wanted to, let's just say, they wanted to put the boards together and to put gold on the outside to make that tzipa, make the covering of gold around it. A malach came and finished it off for them, so that whenever they started to do something, it just happened to be on its own. That answers a lot of questions. There were no mistakes. There were no mistakes, and they finished everything rather quickly. This stuff was brought rather quickly and given to them by Kafei Kislev. None of them had experience in this stuff. None of them had ever done anything like this before. Yet somehow it was all just done with minimal effort on the part of Bnei Yisrael. I mean, the whole thing is a strange thing altogether. Can you imagine a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Bnei Yisrael? You've been in the desert for a total of what? 120 days so far? 120 days, maybe 170 days so far. It said, I need a house. I want you guys to get together and just build me a house. I'd like you guys to make a club for me. Just make like a little tree house, make everything work for me. It seems to be a very strange sequel in and of itself. It has to be that there was a guarantee coming along with it that a Kodesh Baruch Hu was going to help them out and do everything for them. And that's the reason why it says, Teyasem Malacha, that it's not going to be very good. And that's why it's not going to be Tasem Malacha, as in you will do the work. It's Teyaseh. You'll start it and it'll just be done on its own. It's going to be malacha that's automatically going to work. It's automatically going to happen. You're not going to really have to do anything, which is why Bnei Yisrael thought that they might be able to do it on Shabbos. Why would you think you could do it on Shabbos? Because two people that do something on Shabbos is potter. Here, it's not just one person doing it. It's a person with a malach doing it together. So you'd think that there would be mutter to be able to do on Shabbos. Why not do it on Shabbos? I'm not really building a mishkan. I'm not really doing anything at all. It's really me plus something else helping me that's allowing me to be able to do the mishkan. So why can't I do this on Shabbos? To that, the Torah says no. That only happens during the 6 days of the week where the malach is helping you. It's not a tzivui for you to do it. It's telling you that during those 6 days, the malach will be helping you in your service to be able to make the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to create everything there. That's the Teyaseh. But on the seventh day, Shabbos Shabbosom HaHashem, God rests, which means the Malachim rest. Which means if the angels are resting, they're not helping out the regular people. Which means on Shabbos, if you would work, what would happen? It would be one person doing it on his own. That's usur. So even though you think you have a havamina, maybe this would be mutter to do on Shabbos, this might be something that I could do on Shabbos, the answer is absolutely not. You're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. It's usur to do on Shabbos itself. Here we go. There's a Yerushalmi. You guys might have heard of this Gemara. If you haven't heard of it before, if you have a little kid's book, you might have seen it in kid's books. You've probably seen a story like this before. There's pictures of it in some of the little art scroll books. It's a very cute story, but this plays... tells us exactly what we want to know. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the famous miracle worker in Tinus, used to have miracles happen to him all the time with the vinegar turning into oil and other things that happened with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa wanted to bring this massive stone to Yerushalayim. He saw it was a beautiful stone with many colors and whatever it was, and he said, wow, I want to donate this to the Beis HaMikdash. Whether they can use it in the Beis HaMikdash itself or they'll take the money, whatever it is, I want to bring this to the Beis HaMikdash. Problem was, it was extremely heavy, so he couldn't do anything. So he went up to it to see how heavy it was, put his hands on it, and tried to lift it up, but it was way too heavy for him. Just then, four malachim appeared in his eyes as being four huge guys. Like these four football players walked up to him and said, where are you going? So he said, well, I'm trying to bring this rock to Yerushalayim. The four workers that saw him immediately said to him, don't worry about it. Just keep a finger on it. Just keep your hand on it. We'll lift it up. We'll bring it over to Yerushalayim. The four malachim picked it up, and they had kitzis haderech, says the Yerushalmi. They immediately found themselves outside the gates of Yerushalayim. Rechina Mendoza said, I don't even remember traveling. The four men said, we were traveling the whole time. You must have been spaced out. Rechina Mendoza was like, I don't space out. Okay, this is a miracle. He realized it was a miracle. He turned to them and said, well, I guess I don't need you anymore. I'll get the people in Yerushalayim to come help me. Immediately, the four malachim disappeared. Four malachim completely disappeared. The idea is, and it's a crazy little line, when you try to do something and you know you're going in the right way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you no matter what you need. There will be malachim there to help you along the way, to be able to let you know you're doing the right thing. I went to a speech by Rabbi Alter, the Rosh Yeshiva of Migdal Torah, 3 years ago. I think it was on Shabbos. I don't remember exactly. It was on Parshas Vayakel. I don't remember if it was on Shabbos or on Motzei Shabbos, whatever it was. But he spoke about this, and he said about the whole situation, think about what you're trying to do here, about the Isek that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you. You can't demand this of a person. Create a Mishkan. Give me 3/4 of your gold and your silver and your stones and everything you got for me to be able to make a house for myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything he wants. What kind of a demand is this? It's a demand to show B'nai Yisrael. If you start to do something, I promise you, if it's the right thing, I'll help you do it and it'll be finished in the best way possible. The idea of Siyata Dishmaya, Tilton and they will come. Field of Dreams had nothing in comparison to Mishkan. That it was there. It was Siyata Dishmaya. And it's such a strange thing to do with the wood and the gold and the skins and everything else. It was an idea to be able to sit there and say to yourself, if you want to try to start something, it'll happen, it'll work, and you'll be happy with it. That was the idea of what was going on. That's why Betzalel, this is my addition, but I think it's 100% true, why Betzalel had to be an expert not only in how to build things. That was a chokmah, and that was true. But he had to be a chokmah when it came to all the different ways of creating things in Shemayim. How to work things in Shemayim. They say that Betzalel knew how to create the entire world. That he knew the letters that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. He was able to make his own world if he wanted to. He was able to have a Bereshis of his own. I know this sounds strange, but he could have used the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create things. But Salo had to be not only a master craftsman, but a person who had unbelievable siyata d'shmaya, that knew how the world worked and how malachim worked. And that if you start doing something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. Where do we see it by Betzalel?
It's a microcosm.
Where did he learn it from? Certain people are born that way, but it seems very, very succinct in our parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he was given moleoso beruach chokmah. He was given chokmah. He was filled with it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him specifically to be able to bring it all up. That's teos that. That's it's going to be done on its own. You try to build something, and it will be done on its own. It will just come onto its own. The only thing that wasn't that way, that was a little bit different, was the menorah. Anybody remember the Medrash brought down by Rashi about the menorah? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did was he took Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure about the menorah. He took the gold, threw it into a fire, and it formed the menorah on its own, and everything happened on its own. I think the pshat is that there was nothing that Moshe Rabbeinu could do. He didn't even know how to start it. How in the world do you take a piece of gold and chip it down without losing anything, making the gavim, the katorim, and the prachim? You can't make them separately and then put it on the menorah itself. How in the world can you chip it out of a huge block of gold? Just an oven to be able to make that block of gold is impossible. And then to be able to chip it all down, to be able to make all that, it's not like an ice thing. It seems to be almost impossible. It seems to be very, very hard. It seems to be that way. So it seems that in that case where there was no way for a human being to be able to do it, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was given unbelievable help, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it all on his own. But otherwise, there always had to be the hand on the rock that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had. You had to start something. You see it throughout the whole parsha. It says by the woman, Biyadeha Tavu, that they went ahead and they spun all the different things that they needed. The linen, the linen stuff, and all the clothing for the Kohanim. This stuff was extremely intricate, and the fact that it was all 4-ply, I don't know exactly how to say it within the English language, but meaning taking tchelet, argaman, tolas shani, and sheish, and weaving it together, and then making clothing out of it. It was a very thick string that they were using in order to spin together. The idea behind tavu, and the reason why there's two letters there, says the shach al Torah, was specifically because when they started to do things, two different parts he says, they started to do the tchelet, the rest of the tchelet finished itself. It just spun itself. He says another one. He says, if you look in the pasuk, it says, Esa tcheles ve'esa argaman, Esa tolas shani ve'esa sheish. There's aleph and then above aleph, then an aleph and then above aleph. He says that every time they started to spin one thing, another thing spun on its own. He would do the tolas, she would start the tolas, and all of a sudden the tolas shani, and all of a sudden the sheish started spinning itself around the tolas shani without her doing a thing. Everything happened on its own. It's a crazy shach. I wouldn't believe how freaked out I would be if I was spinning something. First of all, then I would be spinning something. But second of all, that while I was going in and spinning something, that something would happen on its own. It was just a crazy thing in and all together. But that's what happened to them all the time. Whenever they were making something in the Mishkan, it kept going on its own. That's the pshat behind the pasuk in Lamed Vav Dalet. It says, Mimalachto Asher Hema Osin. From the work that they were doing, it wasn't just the work that they were doing. The work told them what to do. That certain things said to them, you're doing this the wrong way. No, move your left hand. No, don't do that. You want to go this way. And it was telling them exactly where to go and what to do. This wasn't just Stam making up building. This was being told and being helped by a Kadosh Baruch Hu everything you got to do and how to do it and when to do it. The Mishkan was awesome. But Bnei Yisrael didn't feel anything on that because, I mean, come on. They were living off Mun, which was falling from the sky every morning. They were living from a Be'er Shomerium that was coming from a rock. Was sitting in, wherever they went, the rock rolled along with them. They were living in clouds. They weren't living a normal life. They expected things like this. They expected a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be with them at all times. So it leads you to have a problem. You look at the Yaakov Pekudei, and all you think is repetition. Even Rashi gives up on you. After he gets like through the first Aliyah, he's just like, he's done. She's like, I'm out. I did what I needed to do. I've explained a little bit, but you know, like you can pretty much figure this out. I got one Rashi and a total of about 80 psukim over here. There's nothing to do. So what do you do when you get to a parsha like this where you sit there and you say to yourself, most of this has been covered in Parshas Truma. At Pekudei, most of it was covered in Parshas Tzavet. Did you not expect the Jews to do it when God commanded it?
Well, why do it again even?
Exactly. That's what we're saying. The repetition is just ridiculous. Why would we have to? And that's something you got to ask all the time whenever you see a pasuk in the Torah. Sometimes we don't get the answer right there. Sometimes you got to work really hard for that answer. But you have to look at it and you have to say to yourself, what is the deal with the repetition over here? And plus, there's something strange about this week. Not always. It doesn't always happen. But Parshas HaChodesh usually falls out in Vayakol Pekudei. Usually falls on Vayakol Pekudei. Not always. But Parshas HaChodesh, the special one of the four parshios that we do specifically before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, falls out on Vayakol Pekudei. Why? Parshas HaChodesh is all about renewal. And that's specifically brought up by the parsha of Vayakol Pekudei. What's this connection that God's trying to tell us over here? What's the connection that God is saying to us? Here's what I want you to learn. And what is he trying to get at? Okay, I got a really good board. It's from Rav Shor. We're going to take it a lot further. Then I'm going to bring it over to Sheva Baruch Hu's board just to tell you exactly what's going on. And then bring it in to you. To try to explain how it applies to you, how every single person can be affected by this idea. It is an unbelievable idea, but it seems to be 100% true. Rav Shor says there's a pasuk by the Mitzrayim in Parsha Shmos. It says, "Vayakam Melech Chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef." A brand new king got up in Mitzrayim that did not know Joseph. Okay, there's a problem with that. The word Chadash is a very hard thing to understand by somebody that's not Jewish. Chadash is a specific concept that is given over to our nation, for us and us alone to be able to use. Yashan, antication, or unrenewal, just the fact of just being where you are and being happy with the status quo is a concept that's brought up by the other nations and not by us. Now here's how it goes. When Adam Rishon originally did the Chet, Adam Rishon originally started with the Chet. What did Adam Rishon do? He brought death into the world. But death does not just mean death. It's not just Misa that Adam Rishon brought inside here. He brought boredom, where people get bored. where people do stupid things because they don't realize what they're doing. They just say, I'm bored. I've got nothing to do. And when you're bored, then what do? You find other things to play with or other things to do to occupy your mind because you can't handle what's going on in front of you. You just can't handle. So you find something else that's there. That's Misa. You might as well be dead. Because God didn't create you to just play on the internet. Just do whatever you want, sitting and watching a movie or sitting and watching TV. God didn't create you for that. That might be a perk. That might be a perk. But that's not what you're there for. So what's the idea of what you're there for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Adam Rishon to sin to bring this concept in the world. There is a concept now of people being bored. No spontaneity. Not doing anything. Just monotony all day long. When Avraham Avinu found HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was able to find his chadshus, a way of renewing himself in this world, of bringing things back and making people feel like, oh, I'm not bored anymore. Now there's something to work for. Now there's something to work on. Let's look at this. Let's look at this whole world. Now I realize that every day is different, that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for me is a different thing. And even if I do the exact same thing day in and day out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renewing the world every second, and every second that I wake up or every second that I'm alive is a brand new nace from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm doing something with it. Not everybody understood it, because people said we like the old world, where people got bored, so you have to make your own fun, so you did whatever you wanted. People were used to that. I mean, because that meant that you could do whatever you wanted, whenever you want, and nobody could tell you what to do, because I'm too smart for everybody else, and I'm not that guy who's going to listen to what other people are telling me to do. Instead, you have to listen to rules. Well, God made the world, and God has rules for you. And nobody wants to listen to rules. What they want to do is say, I'll decide what I want to do at every time, and if I feel like texting right now, I'll text. And if I feel like talking right now, I'll talk. And if I feel like not waking up right now, I won't wake up. That's what people want. But Avraham Avinu decided and brought it out into the world that being fresh and healthy is a good thing. To make things new and to bring things all around. You want to hear the craziest concept in this week's parsha? Craziest thing, the Maral Diskin says it. They brought the Lechem Aponim to Moshe Rabbeinu on Chafei Kislev. You know when they made the Lechem Aponim? They made the Lechem Aponim 3 days after Yom Kippur. And then they brought it to him on Chafei Kislev. And it was still warm. It was still warm. It's the Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim, the show bread. You know what it shows us? God doesn't get bored with Klal Yisrael. It's always warm. Every time they did Aliyah L'Rego, they picked up the Shulchan with the Lechem Aponim and they showed it to Klal Yisrael. They said, look how much God loves you. Look how much God has, He adores you. Look at this. The bread is still fresh and warm. Your relationship with God is still there. You just missed out on it. You've lost. It doesn't feel that way. It was 2.5 months later and the Lechem Aponim was still fresh. To show Klal Yisrael, you can always bring that back. It's hard, but you can always bring back that spontaneity, that newness, that freshness that we've always had. Mitzrayim doesn't have something like that. So how could Mitzrayim have a Melech Chadosh? How could they have a brand new king? It's impossible. That idea of Chadosh belongs to us. It doesn't belong to them. So where did this concept come from? How were they able to get that Iskachas and use it for themselves? So here's the idea. When Yosef HaTzadik died, Bnei Yisrael stopped giving themselves bris milas and started to act like the Mitzrayim. When we act like Mitzrayim, then all our concepts go to them. And our Iskachas goes to the Mitzrayim and they become new. They feel fresh. They feel new. They feel like they've gotten things and that they feel like that they can bring themselves up. So everything that we had, that we're able to build ourselves up with and feel good about ourselves and about what we do, was given over to the Mitzrayim. It was all given over to them. And they took it for themselves. Until when? Until we're ready to leave Mitzrayim, until we're ready to come to Geula. What was the first mitzvah that Bnei Yisrael got when they were ready to go? Kiddush HaKodesh. HaKodesh HaZeh Lochem. And it's not just Stam that the word Chodesh connects with the word Chodesh, with the word new. Because HaKodesh HaZeh Lochem, that concept of the Kiddush HaKodesh, of sanctifying the new moon and making it all new, was exactly what Bnei Yisrael needed in order to get the Geula. To make yourself as if you're brand new, to say, I am new. I'm a new person, I'm a new Bria, and then I'm not the same thing that I was the day before. Okay, now let's try to understand Kiddush HaKodesh. We go outside on Motzei Shabbos, we look up at the moon, and we bless it.
I've always wondered what would happen if a car stops by at a shul on a Motzei Shabbos watching everybody do Kiddush HaKodesh, look outside and say, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're praying to the moon. Praying to the moon. Why? We're blessing the moon. Can't bless the moon from your shul? Gotta go outside to go look at it? You gotta do it outside. What in the world is the pshat that we have to look at the moon and point at it? And point at it. And dance and try to go up to it. And to say the words, Shemasidim Lizchadesh Kamosa. What in the world is the pshat behind that? And the answer is, it's simple. The moon is one of the few things in this world that constantly changes. Constantly changes. Every night is a different size. Different size. We might not see it exactly, but you'll see it over a couple days, over a period of a couple days. And it goes, obviously, from being non-existent or not able to be seen to being full, and then goes right back down again. And within 29 and a half days and a couple seconds in the month, there is that concept of going from nothing to big to nothing again, and keep renewing and renewing and renewing itself. And literally making itself different. Part of this was a curse / bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the moon said, how can me and the sun work at the exact same time? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the moon, be memayit yourself. Make yourself smaller. It wasn't only that the moon was punished for wanting to be on the same level as the sun and saying to God, why should we both be equal? It was a bracha for the moon. God gave the moon us. We need the moon to renew ourselves every month, to look up at the moon and understand that even though it happens every month, it's trying its hardest to change every single day. And it does it. Every single day it's different. Every single day something is different about that moon. And it does it. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. That's our geula. Our redemption, our concept of Mashiach is to feel that we're new people. Every day, every hour, every second, that we're a new person. The only reason why we don't feel that way is because we're in Golos. And America stinks. This place doesn't let you think about anything else other than the next pleasurable thing that you're about to do. It doesn't let you think. It doesn't let you come up with these concepts. But that's what it's all about. It's all about finishing, growing, doing those types of things. Says the Maharal, it's not stam that every chag is connected to a part in the field. Spring is when we have Pesach. When we reap the grain, that's when we have Shavuos. And bringing in the grain to our houses and putting it and storing it inside our houses is Sukkot. Says the Maharal, it's because whenever something changes in this world, it stands for something in the next world, in the world of Olam Haba. Something is happening up there. When spring comes along, and it's warm outside, and you see grass starting to grow a little bit further, and the flowers starting to bloom, and the trees starting to have something on their branches, once that happens, once you start seeing that happening, in Shemayim, there are things being grown, there are things sprouting, and if you want, you can daven for a brand new life. You can daven for something that you've never had before. Because that's the time for things to change. And so too, when you're reaping the grain, you can ask for parnasa. And Shavuos is not only a time to learn and to get chidushei Torah, but a time to be able to ask for parnasa. And by sukkahs, bring into your house, to literally bring in the money into your house. Says the Maharal, the times of the chagim do correspond on purpose to things in nature so that we can look at things and see that things are different. If you'd have it in the middle of the winter, you'd feel bored. You'd say to yourself, nothing's changed outside. It's still snowing. It's still all the problems that we've had. It's freezing cold. It's snowing outside. I don't feel anything good. So what happens by Pesach? Things are starting to be different. Things look different. Things act different, which means that we ourselves can be a different person. That's the idea behind it. That's the concept of us doing Birchas HaKodesh and Kiddush Levana. Looking up at the new moon and saying to myself, maybe I could be just a little bit different. And that's why it says, HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem. This Chodesh, this brand new moon, this concept of newness, of renewal and everything like that is Lachem. It's for you. It's for you to be able to grow in. And that's why it's the first mitzvah. And that's why Dafkan, Vayakol Pekude, more than any other Parsha, which is just a repetition, it goes over everything that we've gone through before. What we needed for the Mishkan, what we needed for the Big Day Kuna, for everything else. On these Parshas, we need to remember, you got to renew yourself. Look at the Parsha and try to find something new. yeah, it's going to be hard, because life is hard, and life gets very boring when you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
God repeated the entire parsha just to fix Jesus?
No. God repeated the parsha because there are new things in every letter, every word, every pasuk. There's new things everywhere. The problem is trying to find it. The reason why Parshas HaKodesh is here is to tell you, by other Parshas it might be easy to find. You might be able to find it so easily to look at it and be like, oh, that's pshat, oh, that's the idea, oh, that I can understand. Here it might be hard, but that's what life is all about. Going to the same job day in and day out and making you feel happy.
Rashi,
making you think to yourself, that's good. Rashi didn't need to explain pshat. What we're doing is we're darshaning. And we're going into Drush, and we're saying, in Pshat, maybe the Pesukim mean the same, but in Drush, trying to darshan and extrapolate and take things from what's there, that we have something. That's something that we have to go through.
What's
a
Pshat?
What is the same?
Why would it be... The Torah never repeats anything, even the most pashut shot.
And that's why every word must be gone through and to say to yourself, so why does it have to say this over here? It must be because of this. For you to be able to figure out. For you to be able to go through things. Because Rashi's job is just to explain the simplistic shot in the pasuk. For you, it's time to be able to go through and say, well, why do we have to do it again? Why repeat this pasuk? Why does it repeat it a little bit differently? That's what you're supposed to go through. To be able to give you the ability to renew yourself. The ability to go through things again. That's the idea why. Gullus makes you feel old and boring and whatever it is, and that's what Gullus is all for. That's why HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, those words, is the Gematria 424. Exact same Gematria as Mashiach Ben David. Reason why is to bring about, you want Mashiach to come, you have to feel new. You have to feel inspired. You have to feel like you're doing something with your life. You have to feel like you're really going somewhere. That's the tikkun for the misa that Adam Rishon caused with his chetz. When Adam Rishon sinned and caused death to come to the world, what we want is to bring about life. You want to bring about the life all over again. What you got to do is renew yourself and do it all over again, and that all works. Sometimes that comes with the knowledge of a job well done. If you did a job really well, then sometimes you might think to yourself, you know what? I think I got it. I think I got everything pretty well down pat. In Parshas Pekudei, it says 18 times the words, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Like God commanded Moshe. 18 times. You see it by every single thing. Every single time it says that they made something. Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. A pasuk apart, two pasukim apart. Everything is like what God commanded Moshe. Come on. Just tell it to me once at the very end of the parsha. Why do you have to keep going over it again and again and again and again? 18 times. What's the concept? Says the Baal Shem Tov, it's a lesson in how to treat every mitzvah. To be able to treat it as if you've done it for the very first time. You've never done this before. You've never even heard of it before. And he says, I just did what exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to do. And then you do something else. I just did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to do. Say it after every single thing you do. You put on tefillin in the morning. You wear tzitzis in the morning. You make a bracha on food. You make a bracha achrona on food. You go out and you bench. Anything that you do, you say to yourself, this is what God commanded me to do. Kavana Stam, and just thinking, this is what God wants me to do, is the most important lesson that a person can have in this entire world. I had a guy who wrote me an email about a week ago, and it was the most complicated, complex, Bechira question you've ever heard. The guy's been from for a month and a half. And he's like, Rav Dessler says the following, if that's true, then I don't get how this works and how that works and everything like that. The guy barely believes in God. So I wrote him back and I said, listen, there are a lot of smarter Jews than just me. I'm not going to be able to answer a question like that for you. You know, like a question on Bechira is not my forte, that's not where I consider myself an expert at. I'm not going to be able to answer that type of a question for you. I will tell you though, I think you're going a bit too far. There's God, right? God gives you Bechira, right? Who cares? Who cares? Does it really matter whether you're getting schar ba'onesh if the whole choice or free will was only in something that God knew I was going to pass anyway? I mean, come on, just stop for a second. Just say to yourself, people have lost that emuna pshuta. To just stop and say to yourself, there is a God, period. There is a God. And what do I do with that? What do I do with that? Do I wake up in the morning? Okay, that's one thing that I could do. Do I learn a little bit when I could? Yeah, that's another thing that I could do. Do I find other things where I could grow or whatever it is? That's another thing that I can do. Just shh, stop. Don't get too complex on yourself.
There's no reason to confuse yourself or to knock yourself down. Don't start Tanya when you haven't even started Judaism yet. It's not the way to go. You first got to, like, learn and figure out what the Chumash is telling you. Like a guy who's telling me the most complex words. And you just say to him, what's the next pasuk? And he has no idea. He just knows the most complex word in the Chumash, but he has no idea what the next pasuk is. What the next pasuk is. We've lost that emuna pshuta. Just rinse and repeat. And that takes care of all problems. It works with my hair, and my hair is beautiful and fluffy. And it works with everybody. It works with everybody. Just gotta rinse and repeat. Just go over it again. And then whatever. And eventually you'll get to all the complex issues when you're so full and satiated with what you have. Then you'll be able to go on to the next concept. But to just stop? That was the problem with the Egel Azov. But Esau thought too much. He just kept thinking. They kept thinking, well, what should we do now? Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu's not here. Oh, so there's a concept of the Kruvim. And if we have the Kruvim and we know that we're in the Midbar, then we have the concept of the Egel Azov. And if we go ahead and we use that, then we'll be able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and find out what we need after Moshe Rabbeinu. Just sit down, shut up, and wait 6 hours, and Moshe Rabbeinu's down. He'll be down. But people just want to take things into their hands and just be complex. They want to figure out an unbelievable board when they're just forgetting the pashut shot. The Mishkan was a kapara for the ego. You know why it's a kapara? Because you don't think too much. If the only thing you're doing when building is you're thinking Kasher Tziva Hashem Etz Moshe. You're just thinking to yourself, this is what God commanded me to do. But why? Why are you adding in that string around that way? And why are you putting it in that position? And why are you adding it onto that Mishkan? What are you doing that for? I don't care. God told me to do this, and that's why I do it. There should be no other questions, no other answers. Oh, now you want to delve into it. Now you want to learn Torah. You want to understand why. Okay, that's there. But first, do it. Because that's what you're commanded to do. First, believe. Then do the mitzvos. And then get into the intricacies of why. There's no reason to get into the why until you first realize it. You got to get yourself all happy before you get yourself all upset and muddled and mixed up with everything going on. Complications is hischadshus. Hischadshus means finding something that I never knew before. You don't start learning Chumash by opening up a shach al Torah and figuring, oh, here's pshat in the Chumash. That's not what you do. You start with Chumash, then you go to Rashi, then you go to the Ramban, then you go to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, then you go to the Kli Yoker, then you go to the Ibn Ezra, the Rashbam, the Rishonim, the Das Zakenim, the Moshe Zakenim, and the Panach Raza, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Rishonim. Then you go down to the Netziv, the Malbim, to all the different Achronim that there are out there. You start learning it just step by step, but if you skip steps, you're just going to confuse yourself and get yourself all upset, and then where do you go? The greatest Dibrei Torah that you can hear at a Shabbos table come from Rashi. The most powerful come from the Ramban. But you don't have to go too far to go above them or over and beyond them. You don't need that. The Ischadshus comes from the new words that you find. The Ischadshus comes from the new ideas that you bring up. But you have to start off with somewhere. That's what nature is there for. Revolbi is an unbelievable concept. And it's an unbelievable concept that he says. No one just looks up at the sky and says, oh, there's a God. Everybody has a belief in their system. Whether the belief is in themselves, that could be. The belief is in an idol, that could be. The belief is in Jesus, that could be. Or the belief is in a real God. It could be a belief in something, that doesn't matter. Looking up at the sky renews your faith. All it does is you look up at the sky and you say to yourself, that is awesome. That is awesome. That unbelievable sky, unbelievable clouds, unbelievable sun, moon, stars, whatever it is, although you can't see the stars here, but unbelievable everything, that renews your faith. It doesn't create faith. You won't have faith by looking up at the sky. You have faith within you, you're just not bringing out. Bring out that faith and then look at the world and you realize this world is a crazy place. All I need to do is look at my fish tank, but that's because I'm a freak with animals. So look at a fish and I look at that fish and I'm like, unbelievable. Unbelievable, there must be a God. But that's not my proof that there's a God. That's my renewal. That's my idea of now I can go on to Mincha. Now I can go on to Second Seder.
Why is it Why is the Torah so complex or convoluted? Why is it not chronological? Why is it not orderly? Or a person can read it, like any idiot can open and read it.
Because a Stam book can be read over once or twice, and then you get bored with it.
this book was written with the essence of going deeper and deeper and deeper. And then the further you go, the less you know. Because when you first start off, that's when you think you know everything, and you got everything, I don't have to be taught anything. But when you go further and further, that's the only time you actually get something out of it. You realize, why in the world is this? Why in the world is that? And all of a sudden you start realizing concepts that you never thought before. That's the idea behind it. If you use it correctly and you do it in the right way, then you'll come out with the right direction. You'll go in the right way. Otherwise, you're just going to be bored. And I feel bad for you because you're missing out on a crazy amount. Because I'm happy. Now, I may be sick all the time, but that has nothing to do with this. I'm pretty darn happy, and I'm pretty happy with what I'm learning and what I'm doing. And I feel bad for you that you're not going to get there if you're bored with it now. Because you just got to see it, because it's right there waiting for you, and it's begging you to join. It's begging you to come in. So what do we go in? We said the Mishkan was created with Malachim helping them out. We said this Parsha combines with Parsha Chodesh to tell you, to remind you, that you have to be Mechadish yourself at all times. Moshe and Bnei Yisrael made the Mishkan for one reason. God told them to. No other concept. I didn't even mention. That's why in Shemon Esrei, 18 brachos. So in Shemon Esrei, don't think about anything else. Just think, Kesher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. When I'm doing Shemon Esrei, don't think about why this or that or shot in the... Just say, this is what God told me to do. I'm supposed to daven. And other complications are just there to renew your faith. They're not there to confuse you. They're there to renew your faith, to help you go along, to go further and further and further. Don't confuse yourself and lose yourself in the process. It's not what it's all there for. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos. Your sparkles on the side of your eyes.